Thank you, Brother George. Let's remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I carry my medication a lot of times in my little tin there with my Altoids in it. And that little pill that I got to take, it's a white one. I hope I didn't swallow an Altoid instead of my medicine. But I think I got the right, thing down, I believe. I hope so anyway. And hope it'll help me a little bit today. Good to be in the Lord's house. Good to be saved. Thank God for that. Well, I ask you to turn your Bible this morning to the book of Psalm, chapter number 23. Psalm 23 in the Bible today. A very, very familiar psalm, used quite frequently in funerals, and used a lot as well in the churches, in preaching. Been preached a number of times, and it's never been worn out yet. You know, it's still there. And it's still just as wonderful now as it was then. And I want to thank the Lord for it. Psalm 23, let's read these verses. The Bible said in verse number 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And may the Lord add His blessings to that. Let's pray together and ask God's divine help today. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the Sunday school time. Thank you, Lord, for the good song service today. The blessing, Lord, of the old hymns of faith that we still sing. Thank you for the special music. I'm glad that heaven's my home and my heart's already there, Lord. I want to thank you for the privilege we have to be here today, and I pray, thank you for our visitors we have. I pray that you'll bless them, help those that are sick that we prayed for. Touch their bodies, I pray. Give them grace and healing strength there. I do pray, Lord, for the power of the Spirit of God, not only upon Brother Hall today, but upon the church. We need convicting power. We need your presence. We need your help. Without you, Lord, we're failures. We can do nothing. We are nothing without you. So I pray, Lord, you'll come to anoint with fresh oil this morning and give liberty and unction to preach. And may hearts be changed. May souls be saved and lives changed. And may God's people be revived today, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that's done. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. As I said earlier, probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, maybe other than John 3:16, in the entire Word of God. It's used a great deal in funeral services. It's used a great deal to be preached from in the house of God. But I want to say it's a wonderful psalm as it deals with the shepherd and his sheep. And, you know, the shepherd and his sheep is really the love that they have for one another. Is somewhat of a deep mystery. I don't know that we'll fully ever understand the life, and I'm talking about the actual life now, of a shepherd and the sheep that he is in charge of. But the Bible does say that the shepherd, the sheep, hear his voice, and they follow him, and they know him. And it says another one, they will not follow, but they will follow him, and he leads them. He leads them through the pastures to graze in. He leads them through troubled waters and troublesome times. You know, it's always a comfort for the sheep to know that the shepherd is always there when there's beasts, wild beasts lurking in the shadows waiting to pounce upon them. When there's someone out there, an adversary waiting to take prey upon them, it's comforting for them to know that the shepherd is always there. And so I want to preach that on that a little while this morning. on the shepherd and his sheep and the love that he has for them. Now, this is what Psalm 23 is what's called a messianic psalm. In fact, there's three of them in a row. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 are all called messianic psalms. And really, they form a trinity of grace. I mean, a real trilogy, a trinity of the good grace of God. And they're inseparable for a child of God. As being saved, as being one of God's sheep, we cannot separate these three chapters in the Bible. You've got to take them as a whole, study them as a whole, and learn them as a whole. They have in view Christ and His redemption of His people. May I say, redemption is a wonderful thing. These three verses together cover the entire redemptive story of Christ and His people. And redemption is a great thing. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm so thankful that we have this morning. It's not by our works, but it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say I'm glad that I've been redeemed. A lot of people don't know what redeemed means. It means to be bought from the slave market of sin. And sin had us. We were slaves to sin. But when Christ divinely intervened and became our Redeemer, He bought us from that slave market of sin, and we became a child of God. Now, I want to say that I willingly am a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't forced to be one. I'm glad that I'm willingly His bondservant today. And so these three psalms tell the redemption story of Christ and His people. In Psalm 22, and I'm not going there, but we see the cross of the Lord Jesus. That psalm starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's no question about it, that it deals with the cross work of the Lord Jesus. As that black cloud of sin settled in over Him that separated Him and the Father, He cried those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He denied even Himself. The Lord denied even Himself as He very lovingly and willingly laid His life down in atonement for our sin. I'm glad I can say that this morning. Brother Gray, I believe, preached that the other night, that His death, He laid it down. Nobody took it from Him. He laid it down that He might take it up again. Has it ever occurred to you that He could have called 10 legions of angels to deliver Him? He could have didn't have to call anybody. He had the power to deliver Himself. He said, I have the power to lay my life down. I'm glad that He did. I'm glad that He laid it down willingly. I'm glad that He suffered. I'm glad He shed His blood. I'm glad that He died. But I'm going to tell you something. That wouldn't have been enough. I'm glad that He got up out of the grave. Hallelujah. That's right. And He has got the power to save any old sinner that will come to Him and confess his sin, turn from his sin, repent of his sin, and call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus will save him. I'll assure you of that. Hallelujah. Now, if we look at chapter number 24, and I'm going to jump chapter 23 for a minute. If we look at chapter 24, we see Christ in His coming. Now, I'm glad He's coming again. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say again today, Christ is coming again. Yes. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, or maybe soon. I don't know when, but I do know He's coming again. Yes. He's not sending one of the archangels. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. That's right. Those angels, those two men in white apparel said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus that you've seen should go up shall so come again in like manner as you've seen Him taken away. And He is coming again. The question this morning is, are you ready to meet Him? Have you truly been born again? Have you been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? I want to say, if Christ was to come today and you've heard the gospel and rejected it, you're going to die and go to hell without God and without any hope. That's right. But He is coming again. Now, the mockers out there don't believe that. They don't believe He's coming. The world don't believe He's coming. Just like it was in the days of Noah, they all knew not until the flood came and took them away. Now, I'm telling you, people today will know it not until the trumpet sounds and God takes us away like He did Noah and his family. And it'll be too late for that crowd that is left behind. It'll be left without God and without hope. And so He is coming. In Psalm 24, at least four times, the Bible calls him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he comes, he'll reward his people. The Bible said, and then he will rule upon this earth. Thank God I'm looking for that day, aren't you? But right between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24, we find Psalm number 23. And it's here that we see the life of Christ and His children. Between the cross and His coming. That's what Psalm 23 deals with. Between His death and the return of the Lord Jesus. Right between them is Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 deals with the Lord and His relationship to His people. It tells us that wonderful story of the watch care of the Lord over us. I'm glad that His eyes look to and fro on the earth and behold both the good and the evil. I want to thank Him that as His eye is upon the sparrow this morning, His eye is upon you also. I'm telling you, there's times we get discouraged and we get depressed and get amen, come on now, and get discouraged in the Lord. But I'm telling you, His eye is always upon you, wherever we may be. You're not going to escape the all-seeing eye of God. I don't care where we're at. God's eye is upon us as His child. It's never removed from us. He knows every step we take, every breath we breathe. He even knows the number of hairs on our head. For you fellas that's got beards, He knows the number of hair on your beard too. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. He's just that wonderful of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And we see Christ, His experience. We see our experience that we have with the Lord during this time for those that He delivered. Now, I want to mention a few things by introduction. I want us to notice in the psalm the nearness of the Lord. The Bible said that the shepherd is always near his sheep. In verse number 4, He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me." Now, I want to say, contrary to all the messages you've heard at funerals, this is not talking about death. Amen. This is talking about the sheep, a child of God, as they walk through that dark valley of despondency and despair, amen, with all kind of adversaries on both sides of them. He said, "I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me." I'm going to tell you, the boogeyman can be on one side, death can be on the other one, hell can be a raging, but I'm telling you, if we walk through that valley, God will be there with His sheep. I'm glad He's always near. His presence, we always have the presence of the Lord. Thank God, I'm glad when He took up His abode in our heart, He never left us and never will leave us. He's always near. Thank be unto God for that. Now, you stay right with me. Amen. He's always near. We fear no evil. Thou art with me. He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Then notice the name that is ascribed to our Lord. He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Now the Bible said the good shepherd, as the good shepherd, there's a threefold work of the shepherd work of Christ. As the good shepherd, He giveth His life for the sheep. That's what He said in John chapter number 10. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Now, I want to say this morning, you know this, but Him giving His life did not stop when He died on Calvary. He is still expending His life and giving His life for you and I as He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is our intercessor at the right hand of God when we pray. He is our advocate at the right hand of God when we confess our sins. Amen. He is there at the right hand of God when we're accused by the devil. Come on in the house. I'm simply saying amen to God. That as the good shepherd, He is still giving His life for the sheep today. Not in death, but giving His life over to them. Just like a mom and daddy give their entire life to raising their children, He gives His life to raise His children as well. Amen. That's right. That's right. And so the good shepherd gives his life for the children. As the great shepherd, he rose from the dead to care for us. Thank God, I'm glad he got up out of the grave.
Amen.
That he might take care of you and me. Now, I know sometimes you feel like you're left alone. And God's forgotten all about you. When them bills come due and you don't have the money to pay them. That's right. Or when there's trials in your life and you, or your heart's been broken, or there's grief and sorrow, you feel like you don't have a friend in the world, I'm going to tell you something, there's always a friend in Christ.
Amen.
He got up out of the grave that he might be your friend. He got up out of the grave that he might be your deliverer. He got up out of the grave, ladies and gentlemen, that he might be your comforter as one alongside with you. Hallelujah. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Don't make no mistake about it. I'm telling you, in the person of the Holy Ghost, Christ is alongside of us as a comforter every step of the way that we take on this journey that we're traveling. Amen and amen. Then I want to say also, as a chief shepherd, he's coming to crown and reward his sheep. He's coming again. As that great shepherd of his sheep, he's coming again. People don't believe it, but he is. They say, where is it? Where is this coming? You know, they've been talking about he's coming for a long time. Well, you just hang around, sweetheart. You just hang around a while. It'll come. And when he comes, he will not tarry. I'm telling you, at the appointed hour, he will come. And he will not tarry. He'll not wait for no man. When the time arrives, there is a, just as there's an appointed time for us to die, there's an appointed time for him to come. And he's a sovereign God. He'll come when he wills and wills when he comes. And I'm telling you, his reward will be with him when he gets here. He is coming again. You better believe he is. Thanks be unto God. You can tell that bunch of Muslims over there I said so.
Amen.
Amen. His name's not Allah either. His name's Jesus. I don't know who your God is, but my God's Jesus. That's my God is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not one of those Muslims, ragheads, whatever you want to call them. I'm not afraid of them devils. I said, you'll get in trouble. I might get in trouble, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to preach the Bible. I've got a freedom of speech and a right to preach my Bible, and my Bible says that Allah is not my God, Jesus is. And my God is not a God of hate mongering. My God is a God of love and grace and mercy and truth and peace, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. Well, I had to get that off my chest. I'll mention these real quick. The nature of the psalm, the relationship of Christ to his people, the watch care of Christ to his people, the work of Christ in his people, and the purpose of Christ toward his people. You know what the purpose of Christ's work is? A lot of folks don't, according to this psalm. I'm going to say more about this in a minute. But the purpose of his work in this psalm is that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah to God. What a wonderful thought that we're going to heaven someday. And buddy, I'm telling you, there'll be no end when we enter into that pearly gate. Oh, no, that's the whole purpose of this thing, that we may dwell. David said, I know that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I want to ask you something. Have you looked over your shoulder lately? Boy, we got the mully grubs and our lips are down. Have you looked over your shoulder lately? I'm telling you, goodness is on this side, mercy is on that side, and they're going to follow us all the days of our life. Wherever we go, they're going. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. Now, I want to mention the shepherd's love for his sheep. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. If you don't get anything else I said this morning, I want you to, or this afternoon, whenever it is, I want you to get this. It is a personal love.
Amen.
Thank God. It's not just an all-inclusive love. God loved the world. I'm glad he did. And God loved the church. I'm glad he did. But in Galatians 2:20, Paul said he loved me. And he gave himself for me. And you don't have to look at God's love as him loving everybody collectively. He does. One to one, but I'm telling you, his love for his sheep is a personal love. The Lord is M-Y-M-I. 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 The Lord is my shepherd, not somebody else's. He might be somebody else's, but he's mine. Hallelujah to God. He's my shepherd. Amen. Thank God I'm glad I'm in his fold. I got into September the 13th, 1970. Now I'm telling you, the porter opened the door. Thank God I entered into the sheepfold. Amen. And I've been in the sheepfold ever since. Hallelujah. By the way, he's let me in and out. Give me a little pasture every now and then. Amen. I know that's right. Thank God. Amen. It's a personal love. Aren't you glad of that? That the personal pronoun, now different ones, is used at least 17 times in these six little verses. A personal pronoun. That sounds like a personal love to me. My love for me and my wife. I love y'all. But I got a personal love for her. Tad bit different. Yeah, just tad bit different. And aren't you glad that God's personal love for you is just a tad bit different? And I'm going to tell you, I've preached this so many times, I sound like a broken record. But I'm going to tell you, he loves you just like you are. Hallelujah to God. And he'll never love you any more or any less. God is love, and God just loves you like you are. Amen. That is exactly right. Somebody said, well, I don't see how God could love me. I don't either, but he does. I'm going to tell you, somebody said, how do you know it does? I've read the Bible and I believe the Word of God. I've got faith in that book and what it says. Amen. It's a personal love. They better believe it is. Hallelujah. And by the way, that 17 times, 17 is a number of finality, judgment, and completion. Finality, judgment, and completion. In other words, he said, what I've done, what I'm doing with my... what I'm doing with my sheep is going to be finalized. It's in finality. You can mark her down. That's going to happen this way. And it's also judgment. I'll judge my own, he says. But it's also completion. He said, I've done everything that needs to be done for the work of my sheep to carry them all the way from earth to heaven's glory. Thank God. Amen. It'd be just like you and I crossing one of the deserts. Buddy giving us enough food and enough water and enough gasoline for that vehicle to make it all the way across whatever one of the largest deserts is. We'd have enough to make it all the way across. Now, when we start getting close to the edge, we may think we're going to run out. That's the way a lot of you are right now. We've drawn it down close. God's drawn it down close. And some of you are saying, my Lord, I'm about to run out of gas. I'm about to run out of energy. I'm about to run out of grace. I'm about to run out. Oh, no! I'm going to tell you, he's given you enough mercy, grace, love, truth, help, power. Amen. To make her all the way from the cross to glory. Because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Amen. Hell not one. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Now, it's a personal love. That personal love, he provides us rest. He said he maketh me, not everybody else, me, to lie down in green pastures. Lie down. You're glad he give me rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I wrestled with my sins and wrestled with my soul and wrestled with myself. Didn't think there was ever any hope for me. Couldn't rest day and night. Found no sleep. Found no rest from a body and no rest from a soul. Oh, but on that glorious morning, brother, when the wind from another world blew through that little old church, Now, I don't know whether it blew on anybody else, but thank God I'm glad the wind of heaven blew on me that day. And by the grace of God, I got born again into the family of God. I could hear that wind. I could hear where it was coming from, and I saw where it went to. But I'm telling you what, I couldn't lay eyes on it, but it left something behind that I remember. Gave me that birth into the family of God. Amen. And He gave me rest. I can pillow my head tonight without fear. Can I say this to you? My heart doctor told me the first time I went down there to see him, Dr. Nadeau, he said, Reverend Hall, he said, you're a worrywart. I said, sir, he said, you worry about things. He said, if anybody, a preacher, you ought to be able to cast all your care on the Lord. And I said, well, I got to be honest with you. If I know what I think you're saying, I said, I don't really worry about me. And I don't. I'm not a bit worried about death. But I'm going to tell you who I do worry about. People. People's faces that I come in contact with every day. I wonder when I look at faces, is this one really in? When I look in the obit column, I wonder, did that one go to heaven or did it go to hell? That's where my worry ends at. I worry about people. Whether they're really in or whether they're playing games with God. Whether they've really been saved or whether they're lost and playing a religious game. I'm telling you, don't play a religious game. Get born again. Get in the family of God. Amen. Now, He provides us rest. I want to say, secondly, He provides us restoration. The Bible says in verse 3, He restoreth my soul. You know what that word restore means? It means to turn back. Now, some of you said, preacher, what on earth do you mean to turn back? He restores my soul. Well, I'm here to tell you, I can look out over this crowd this morning, and I can see more trouble than there is hair on a cat's back. There's a lot of hair on a cat's back. Now I'm telling you, I can see a whole lot of souls this morning that's just about ready to drip out the end of your toenail. That's how low it is. It's so low, you're so low, you just about have to have a stepladder to tie your shoe. That's how low you are today. But I'm glad that as the shepherd, the Bible said, He restoreth. He didn't say He might. He restoreth my soul. That is, He will revive me again. Amen. The psalmist said, will thou not revive us again? But I'm here to tell you, He also said personally that He will restore my soul. He'll turn me back when I'm down. Amen. He'll lift me up when I'm down and turn me around when I'm going in the wrong direction. He will restore your soul. Brother, I'm telling you, man's soul can get in a bad way. You can believe that or not. Amen. Get tired and weary. That's why Joseph told his brothers when they went back to get Jacob, said, see that you fall not out by the way. Amen. A lot of folks are falling out by the way. Amen. I asked Brother Steve, I believe it was Brother Steve, might have been Brother Gray. I don't remember which one of them it was. This question the other day. I said, in Hebrews 6, when it says, if they shall fall away, if they shall fall away, so the only way they can, the only way they could be saved or come back, put it like that, is to crucify the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now I ask Brother Steve, if that word, if they shall fall away, does that mean, does those words mean apostatize? If they shall fall away, to renew them again? If they shall fall away, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people that's falling out in the way. And I'm going to tell you why they are. They don't have the goods. But I'm telling you, if you've got the goods this morning, you ain't going to have to worry about falling on the way.
Thank God, I'm glad there's one we can lean on this morning. And He's got the grace and the power and the strength to hold us up and lead us across the finish line. And He's going to one of these days.
Oh, learn to lean on Him. The song we sing, I need Thee every hour. Learn to lean on Him. He can hold you up when your strength is weak. He can restore your soul when your soul is down. He can give you water when you're thirsty. He can give you food when you're hungry. He can bless you when you're tired and weary. He can restore your soul when need be. God can do it. Hallelujah. Our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. I shall not want. Thank God He provides rest and provides restoration. I won't say... Thirdly, provides righteousness. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness.
Amen.
That word righteousness simply means that which is altogether just.
Yes, Amen.
In other words, we're justified.
Amen.
He's going to lead us in a justified path.
Amen.
Well, if you can get a hold, I wish I could sing. I'd sing justified right now.
Yeah.
I can still hear old brother Pierre singing that thing down at Tabernacle, I'm justified. Thank God, justified. I'm telling you, that's the path He leads us in. I'm telling you what, He'll never lead you down into a path of sin. He'll not lead you to the theaters. Oh, come on. He'll not lead you to the dump houses and the flop houses. He'll not lead you to the honky-tonk places. He'll not lead you down to where the dope's at and the booze is at. Amen. He'll lead you down a just path in a righteous way. The Lord is my shepherd, and He leadeth me in paths of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Is that what the Bible says or not? I believe it does. Amen. Now, I'm going to say number two. It's not only a personal love, it's a providing love. And I got to hurry. What do you mean a providing love? He said in verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Now, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He provides my diet. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Yep.
Now, I mentioned rest a while ago, and I got to put these two together. You know, in just a little while, we're going back here and eat a meal. And you know what most people do after they eat a big meal? They like that recliner, don't they? He maketh me to lie down in a green recliner. What am I going to do when I lay down in that recliner? I'm going to rest. That's the point I wanted to make earlier and I couldn't get there. But I'm telling you, as He provides our diet for us, ladies and gentlemen, aren't you glad that once we're full, He'll fill us up? Once we're full of the right food that God wants us to have, we'll lay down and rest in those green pastures. He doesn't feed us stubbles and old brown stubbles and thistles and thorns. Green grass.
Amen.
That's right. A lady tried to give me some green stuff up there, herbalist one time. I said, what is this stuff? She said, you just need to take it. I said, why? She said, because green will keep you clean. You'll catch on to that after a while. I'm going to tell you something. His green grass will keep you clean. In your soul and in your spirit, ladies and gentlemen. That diet that He gives you will keep you clean. Amen. He provides the diet. He provides the drink. He said He leads me beside the still waters. He provides the drink for us. And it's a peaceful love. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep don't drink from turbulent streams. His love leads us into a peaceful and a tranquil life. I'm so thankful and glad of that. Into a peaceful and a tranquil life. Buddy, I'm telling you, all the hoopla going on in the world, I'm telling you, people are living in the fast lane, and people are dying a fast death. I saw a man's picture in the paper the other day, and I don't know who the man was, never met him before in my life, but he was in the obituary column. He was 62 years old, and I'm telling you what, I looked at that man, I showed his picture to my wife. I said, can you believe that man's 62 years old? He looked like he was 162 years old.
Right.
Tell you what I think. I think he had been down the wrong path.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you something. That sin will catch up with you down the wrong path.
Yeah.
But if God leads you down the right path, ladies and gentlemen, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. He leads you down that right path. You'll lead a quiet and a peaceful life. You won't be out in that fast lane. Everybody, they want to live in that fast lane, dangerous lane. A fast life. Sinful life. Running here and running there. Boy, I tell you, things are not simple anymore. I remember when we used to sit at home at night and play games like hide the thimble. Riddle, riddle, Marie, I see something that you don't see. And it's red. Used to sit at home around Christmas and thread popcorn on strings to put on trees. Used to play little boys, used to play out in the dirt with little old spools that the thread was on. We'd notch them with our pocket knife and rug, put a rubber band on them with a stick on each side. And them things that you could wind them up and they'd turn just like... That was our tractor, by the way. But I'm going to tell you, things are not that simple anymore. Life was tranquil back then, friend. I can remember being down in Pat's old place, them woods down there, eating them old burnt potatoes in an open fire and building little log cabins and digging holes where we could crawl under the ground to get into them log cabins. And I can still hear Mama hollering, "Boys! Boys! Supper time, boys! Come on home!" Oh, and Mama said, "It's supper time." Son, it was out of them briar thickets and out of them pine trees and on the way up to the house. Amen to God. Gather around that little table, and I'm going to tell you, we didn't have much, but I'm telling you, when we hit our seat, Mama had the beans on the table. Hallelujah. I'll never forget those days, and it was always there at that time. And by the way, young people, we eat what Mama put on the table, so there wasn't going to be any snacks that night. There wasn't potato chips, and there wasn't pizzas, and there wasn't sandwich, and bologna, and hot dogs, and soft drinks, and Dr. Pepper. I didn't know what a Dr. Pepper was. You know what it was at my house when I was a boy? Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, tastes real great. Wish I had some, I can't wait. Well, the Kool-Aid kids are off again to visit other lands. When they do, remember you, you can have some Kool-Aid too. Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, tastes real great. I got to hurry. I got not only the shepherd's love, but the shepherd's leadership. The shepherd's leadership of his sheep. He's been there and already before we ever get there. But he does lead us. And he leads us into satisfaction. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." There's the leadership. But he said in verse 5, he said, "My cup I shall not want." There's the satisfaction.
Right.
You know why I shall not want? Very simple, but very truthful. David said, "My cup runneth over."
Amen.
Let me ask you one question. Why would you want anything else in your cup if it was already running over?
Amen.
It couldn't hold anything else.
Right.
Son, he satisfied us. Our cup runs over. We don't need anything else. Somebody said, "Oh, I need a lot of things." I'm going to tell you the greatest need we have today is Jesus. I'm telling you, if you've got Jesus, I'll guarantee your cup's running over if you got Him.
Amen.
You better believe it is. Thank God here. I'm satisfied. I'm well satisfied. I got a drink of that living water one day and I've been well satisfied ever since. Amen.
Amen.
Drinking from great depths. Amen.
Yes,
cool water. And quail to eat. Manna. Nothing like it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, He leads us into satisfaction. May I say, He leads us into sanctification. Now, this is going to get some of you. He said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." That's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that which has been anointed with oil has been made divinely holy.
Amen.
I want to say to you, if you're saved today, you're holy.
Amen.
And if you're holy, you're going to be living holy. And a person who's never been made holy can't live holy. And you hear what I'm saying? We're not We're made holy that we might do right things and righteous things. We don't do right to get holy. God makes us holy to do right. Can't do right without being made sanctified by the Lord. God sanctifies us and sets us apart for His work in the house of God. And somebody said, I'm going to make myself holy. You're going to try in vain. Our heads need to be anointed with oil. Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. A lot of Baptists say they just shun that off and just shrug up their shoulders and take it as a grain of salt and they think the preacher's a nut, think the preacher's an idiot. But I'm telling you, there is such a thing as being filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and it will change your life. Somebody said, you get saved again. No, I didn't get saved again. I only had to get saved once. Somebody said, you speak in tongues. No, I didn't speak in tongues. He understands English very well. But I'm going to tell you, it did change a lot of things about my life. It gave me a courage I never had before. It gave me a boldness I never had before. It gave me a desire I never had before. It gave me a love for Him that I never had before. It gave me a love for people that I never had before. It gave me a strong desire in my heart to go to heaven like I never had before. Amen. That's right. Now, He leads us into sanctification. Now, here's one that's going to kill some of you. He leads us also into the sanctuary. He said, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what that word, sanctuary is? It means a refuge. A place of refuge. Now, I'm going to say we can find refuge in the house of God. And let me say this to you. I realize that this refers to the eternal home. But if you struggle with coming to church now, you ain't going to be up there. If you struggle with coming to this church as a member, you can forget going to glory. If you hit and miss and have no desire whatsoever to be in the Lord's house, you know why? Because He leads us there. He'll lead you into church. I don't care who you are, what your name is. If you've been born again and you're one of His sheep, I'm telling you, you will follow Him and He will lead you into the sanctuary of God. Amen. I get worried of these people, buddy, that look for opportunities to lay out of church. Look for opportunities to miss the house of God. Well, there ain't nothing going on. Maybe if you would pray a little bit, they would. Maybe if you'd worship at home, there would something happen. Maybe if you'd sing at home, something would happen. Maybe if you'd tell some of your next door neighbor about Christ, maybe something would happen. Amen. Or maybe if you'd come with a desire to worship Him, something would happen. We've just about lost that desire. David said, I was glad when they said unto me when I went unto the house of the Lord. He didn't say, well, I was pooge mouth when they said, let's go to church. Do we really have to go today? It ought to be, thank God I get to go today. Amen. That's right. Some of y'all on the first or third of the month when that check rolls in, you say, thank God I get to go to the mailbox. You don't say, well, I have to go out there and get that stupid check. Oh, no. You're glad to go out there and get it. We ought to be glad to come to the house of God. Get involved. Sing. Turn loose. Let go. Let the Spirit of God swell up in your bosom and let God control you. Let you sing praises to His wonderful name. I got to hurry, my wife say. I won't say thirdly, the shepherd's light is given to his sheep. He leads us in paths of righteousness. His light. He gives us light along the way. I'm glad we're not in a dark valley. Amen. But there's light at the end of the tunnel for us as a child of God. The Bible said in John 12:35, that light, He gives us light to live by. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You know what? Hey, you know what they asked me down at the VA? One of the neurologists, they was examining me, and this has been a year or so ago. They were examining me one day. And this one young neurologist walked up to me and said, "Mr. Hall," he said, "I want to ask you one question." He said, "How do you walk in the dark?" I said, "I don't." I don't walk in the dark. I walk in the light.
Amen.
He didn't get it, neither did some of you. We don't have to walk in darkness. If you walk in darkness, Jesus said, you'll stumble. But while you have the light with you, walk in the light while you got that light. Thank God for the light. I'm telling you, His Word has been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path all of these years. I'm not in darkness. I'm walking in the light of the Word of God. Amen. That Bible is light. That Bible is light and truth. And that Bible will lead us to God's holy hill and to God's tabernacle. Psalm 43:3 says so far, "Lord, thy light and thy truth will lead me into thy hill and to thy tabernacle." Yes, sir. Brother, that light will lead us. We'll live in that light. We'll have to live in darkness. Now, and here's something that just grabbed me the other day. We labor. We've got light to labor by. John 9:4, that Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day."
Amen.
The night cometh when no man can work.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. If you've not underlined those last few words in your Bible, you ought to underline them. The night cometh when no man can work.
Amen.
Would everybody in here agree with me this morning that we're living in some difficult times? It's not easy today. And I'm going to tell those of you that rub shoulders with the world out there, I sympathize with you. I'm telling you, we could be entering into that time when the darkness is creeping upon us, when no man can work. Can you get a hold of that? I'm telling you, there is an evil darkness coming upon this world, and there's a man following it that we call the Antichrist, and I'm telling you, I believe to my soul that he's in the world somewhere right now.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, darkness is creeping in on the world. And it's getting so dark that no man can work. Somebody says, "Why don't we do this and why don't we do that?" Well, why don't we? I'm going to tell you why. Darkness. It's dark. A man works, according to the Bible, in the daylight hours. I don't believe in the second or third shift. I think they ought to shut them down. The Lord said a man goes to work when the sun's up and come home when it's down. He spends night in the house with the wife and the children.
Amen.
I think it'd be wise to close down second and third shifts. But they'd have God's blessing on them. If you know what they want, they want money. Make me money. I just heard them say the other day that Walmart bought somebody, and I mean they paid billions of dollars for it. But you know something, we're in such a bad rut in the economy. Walmart must not be experiencing it. They can pay billions of dollars for a Chinese company. I wouldn't give them 50 cents for their stinking company. I said, "Well, why not, Brother Hall? That's for me to know and you to find out." Amen. I wouldn't give him a dime.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the economy crunch. I'm going to tell you, the only people that's experiencing an economy crunch is poor people just like you and I. That crowd out there, they're not experiencing no economy crunch. That crowd in Washington don't know anything about economy crunch. They're hollering, economy's mad, and they're dragging around every day. Do you realize that they're going to pay the heirs of Kennedy that just died, whichever Ted Kennedy, they're going to pay his heirs $193,000 for the last year he was supposed to be in office and couldn't fill it. $193,000! But we're going broke.
Amen.
And they're giving it to a family that's probably worth billions of dollars. That to them is nothing but pocket change. God help us. I'm so sick of the way things is going on. Amen. What is it, preacher? Darkness.
Amen.
And the power of darkness. And the power of evil is upon us.
Yes.
You don't think we're living in a day of evil, drive uptown and watch people.
Right.
Some they'll flip you the bird, cuss you out. They don't have no problem flipping you the bird, cussing you out. I mean, anything they want to do, they do it. God help them.
Yes, sir.
I won't say this. I'm done. We need light. He gives us light to look by. Should thou prepare a table before me, what? In the presence of mine enemies.
Amen.
You know what that literally means? When that shepherd would find a place to graze from, he'd first go into it himself. In the water hole, he would clear out all the debris out of the water. All of it. Leaves, sticks, all of it. And he'd go around that perimeter of that grassy spot. And he'd look for wild beasts that were out there that could kill his sheep with nothing but a staff in his hand. He'd look for all those wild beasts. Those wild beasts would draw back because they knew as long as that shepherd was there, them sheep was in good hands. In a minute, here come them little sheep stopping by that water hole, coming right out. You know what he would do? He'd go into that grassy place and pick up all the debris out of it and clean it all up and make it a real... In other words, for those sheep, boy, that grass, it was like spreading a table of turkey and dressing for you and me.
Yep.
And guess where that table was spread? Right in the presence of our enemies.
Amen.
You realize every time we come to the house of God and try to get something out of the Word of God, old devil standing out there. When he looks in, and he looks inside, when he's grazing land, and he sees someone. There he is again. Death says, who do you see in there? Jesus, he's in there again.
Amen.
That shepherd, he's in amongst them one more time. And death will say, I'll go in there and get him. And death will growl. Jesus just shake that little shepherd's rod at death. And I'm telling you, at the look of Jesus and at His Word, death! Hell, grave, the devil, they all got to flee from Him. His Word, son, is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. When they come after Him in the garden that night, he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus. And he said, I am. They all just went away and fell down backwards. You know what? I believe He just done that to show them, bless God. Woo! Who they are dealing with out there? That's why I told them I got the power to lay my life dead. Hey, I am! And they said, whoa!
Amen.
And here's the bad thing. Judas Iscariot was right in the middle of them. He fell down with them.
Amen.
Now He prepares us a table.
Amen.
Right in the very presence of our enemies. You know why He does? Because the Lord is my shepherd. You can turn that right around and say that to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yep.
Now, if you're not saved this morning, you're here and you're lost, this Lord's not your shepherd.
That's right.
You're open prey to the devil, death, and hell. And I'm going to tell you, it'll close in on you someday, neighbor.
Amen.
You may not believe it, but it'll close in on you someday.
Right.
I read in the paper, read it a little bit every time I get a paper. And I'm always seeing people 40 years old, 39, 54, 61, 58, dying. And I wonder if they died with or without Christ. Well, you don't have to die without Christ. He is the shepherd of the sheep. And here's what He said. He said, I am the shepherd of the sheep. And my sheep follow me.
And I give unto them
eternal life. They shall never perish.
Amen.
For my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all. You get a hold of that, He's greater than all. What a God. If I was one of them Southern Baptist liberals, I'd say he's awesome.
Amen.
And I don't say that because I'm an independent Baptist. But I can say he's great.
Amen.
I remember when we used to, a little boy, God is great, God is good, let us bless you for this food. Thank you, Lord. God's hand with all our lead, give us all our daily bread. Amen. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before awake. Pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. I'm telling you the fact. I prayed that prayer right there from the time I was a little boy until I went into the military. Every night. Every single night. Somebody said, did it pay off? Well, I don't know. Here I stand is all I can say. Saved by the grace of God. Something paid off.
Amen.
What about you this morning? It'll pay off for you. Let's stand together, please.